Merkle Media.
The driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people that really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed this plane was really low. It went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to Hammer Lane Legends. I am Brian Merkle.
And I'm Brian Shepard.
If you have a crazy and wild story you would like to share with us from the road, if you have crazy stories from your experiences on the road, just, you know, whatever you do, whether you drive an Uber, whether you drive a big truck or an EMT or whatever, we'd love to hear your stories. That's what this show is all about. It's all about your stories. It's all about the drivers. And, you know, so we want to hear them. You can contact us at hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com, or go to the HammerLaneLegends.com webpage, hit the contact section, and get a hold of us that way. Either way works for us. Just get a hold of us. Shipper, tell them about the voicemail line.
Voicemail line, short story, something you've seen, something happened, something you just want to get out there and share with the world. Leave us a voicemail at 515-585-MERK. 515-585-6375. Short story, 5-10 minutes. At the most, you got anything longer than that, the gift of gab, get a hold of Jack or Brian, and we'll schedule you to be on the show. Just follow the simple prompts there on the, you know, voicemail line and have at it. And if you like what we're doing, keep us fueled at buymeacoffee.com/hammerlane. It's a virtual tip jar. You know, it generates, supports the show, keeps us caffeinated, keeps us awake in the days of the 25-hour yeah. marathons there that we go. Do.
Exactly.
We thank you for looking. We thank you for actually participating.
Yeah, you did it all at one shot there, huh? Buy me a coffee, voicemail. That's freaking fantastic.
By the way, I-95 is closed.
I-95 is closed. Well, how are you doing right now, Shep? Are you doing okay?
Pretty good.
You going to make it through?
Yeah, get the ball rolling.
All right, fantastic. Well, who are we talking to today, Shepard? We're talking to Alan. Now that you asked, we're talking to Alan. Alan, how are you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. It's good to talk to you. Thanks for coming back on. Alan is a returning guest. I don't remember what episode you were on, but holy cow.
Great show,
Brett. It's been a couple of years ago. Well, you know.
I've got it pulled up here. It's episode 46.
There you go. Episode. Right. Wow, that does go back some, doesn't it?
We'll take your word for it.
That does go back. That really goes back some time. So how have you been since last time we talked?
Oh, pretty good. Moved into a new house and just been working and doing the same old, pretty much.
Well, I hear that, man. That's awesome. It's good to hear from you. And, you know, what?
Follow up again?
No, I'm sorry.
He's trying to think of the next question.
I was, you know, because I looked over and the door is open. I was going to ask Shipper to go close the door so we didn't get any sound coming in here. But
okay.
My thought, I wanted to ask you, you know, since we talked with you last, have you been driving? Have you, what have you been doing with, you know, with yourself? Like what's going on in Alan's world?
Well, no, right after we talked last, you know, everything happens with all the whole BS with all the guidelines and everything I had to do, I just decided not to drive anymore.
Okay.
So most of the stuff that I'm talking about is when I drove from 2017 to 2019.
Uh-huh. And a man that actually got out of driving.
I know, right? That's my dream.
I can't wait for that day.
I know. I'm looking forward to it. It's like, how'd you do it? How did you get out?
Yeah, it's just with all the mandates and everything they had, I didn't really want to comply with a lot of the crap. And like I said, and it was just mostly a weekend side gig that I did just for a little extra money.
Gotcha. So what do you do full time? Like what, like if I can ask, I'm not trying to be nosy. I was just curious, like, what is your full-time life gig look like?
I'm a hydraulics mechanic and fluid power specialist.
Wow. That's freaking awesome. That's a nice change from driving to doing that. Is that something you went to school for prior, or is that something that, that you've learned since?
No, when I got out of the Marines in 95, uh-huh. I went back to my hometown. And I was originally an refrigeration mechanic in the Marine Corps.
Okay.
And I tried to apply to a couple of the HVAC companies in Safford. And, you know, their thoughts were I was too overqualified to work, you know, in their companies. And tried to find a job around. And there's a hydraulic shop hiring. And I've been doing that ever since. Like I said, it's... This August is going to be 29 years that I've been doing hydraulics.
Wow. That is awesome. That's a long time.
I was going to say, he's in it for the long haul there.
How about it? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. The company I work for right now, we have a specialist that's getting ready to retire, and I'll be taking over his position, hopefully.
Nice.
How about it? That is nice. That's awesome, dude. That's great. So how much longer do you have to go until... You know, I'm going to ask the magical question, retirement. Like, are you looking at retiring in the next 5 years, or are you looking at retiring down the road is it further down the road yet?
I'll probably die working. I don't know if I'll ever get to retire.
I know how you feel there. That's kind of like, I guess we're all kind of in that boat right now. You know, we're just kind of.
We're working on it. Like I said, I just turned 51.
Okay.
And I still got a few years ahead of me.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes like I know for myself, I'm 55, going to be 56 this year. I look at it like it's still a little too far off to really get too excited about, but every year it gets a little bit closer. So, you know, it's only 11 years away this year. So, hey, yeah. You know, and that's, you know, if they don't push that, extend that date out, you know, that. Well, now you got to be 70 or 72 or whatever, right. You know, to retire. It's like, well,
don't get happy until your license renewals. You can count on one hand.
Ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth?
Well,
then you're getting close.
Yes.
Well, like my dad, he retired at 62 and passed at 66, you know.
Wow. Which, that sucks. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, at least he had some time off being retired rather than, you know, worked all the way up until, you know, 65, 66. And, you know, you hear so much where people do retire, you slow down and then they pass in a couple of months.
Right.
You know, it's just weird when your number's up and there's nothing you can do to change it.
No. So retire as early as possible.
Right. That's my theory. Retire as early as possible. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one company I worked for, there was a guy there, he worked 40 years for the company.
Wow.
And he retired and was dead a week later.
No kidding.
Wow, see?
Wow,
a week after his retirement party, he died.
Oh, my word. That has got to suck. I don't even want to think about that.
But on the flip side, this is me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, at the wake. Everybody knew him, you know. You remember 2 weeks ago? Unfortunate, but
wow.
Geez.
Yeah. That is,
I mean, you know, I hear maybe because I hear about it because sure. I'm close.
Well, you know what it is? I mean, that's just it is you know, the older you get, the more friends you have that are
dying.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, what a way to look at life, right. Huh? But anyway, let's drag this back from the edge.
You know, like class reunion, it went to a big picnic grove to a restaurant, you know, with five E's.
Right.
Anyway, back to Alan.
Yeah, that's a great picture.
There, thanks for bringing us down in the dirt.
Wow. So, Alan, take us wherever you want to go. Tell us some, you know, whatever you have on your mind, or wherever the, you know, the stories are that you've got, that we are all yours. The floor is yours. The platform is yours. And we're here to hear, to listen to you.
Okay. Well, I had a buddy of mine. He started driving Lyft. I'm going to say 2015, maybe 14.
Uh-huh.
And with him just driving that, he paid off his car within a year. And then he was making a decent amount of money along with his actual regular job. And I got the idea there was a few things that I wanted to buy and need a little extra money. And so I started driving on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
And I really didn't drive the drunk hours, because I just don't like that kind of crowd. And so I was pretty much just driving, you know, Saturday mornings, mid-afternoon, Sunday mornings, mid-afternoon. But you know, it started getting with more experience. I did some of the bar scenes a couple nights and did a couple of raves and St. Patty's Day, like I was saying in the email. But yeah, you just see a lot of different people out there that you wouldn't regularly run into, I would say, unless you're a regular Walmart.
Right.
But my first drive, it was my very first drive. It was like 3 minutes from my house. I'm like, oh, okay, an easy pickup. Well, I pull up there and it's in this really high dollar subdivision, and it's gated. And I'm like, well, shit. I'm trying to figure out how to text the people, like, you know, what's the gate code, you know, so I can get in. And well, this guy comes walking up to the gate, like he owned the place, and like, well, what are you doing here? And I'm like, I'm here to pick up somebody for an Uber ride. Well, who is it? I'm like, not really in your business, but can you open the gate so I can go pick him up? And he just got real outstanding with me. And then finally somebody pulled in behind me and they clicked the gate open. Well, he's down there like he's not going to let me in. And I'm like, sir, can you please move? I got to go pick up my ride. And he just kind of huffed and, well, I guess so. And I'm like, I'm just going to run you over anyway if you didn't get out of my way. So I get in and I pick up the gal. And the funny thing was, it was her first ever Uber ride.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, wow, Wilkshire's getting popped here. And so we get her and her husband loaded up. And I was driving a 2014 Pathfinder and with automatic gates. So we get everything loaded up in the back and I hit the close button. Well, they're in a kind of hurry, so we jump in, and as I'm getting to go down the road, I hear the gate beeping. I'm like, that should have closed. I look back, and it's coming back open, and I'm like, oh, shit. So I pulled over, and what I guess had happened is he had this big, long case. I don't know what was in it, but I don't know if it bumped the gate as we were taking off before it closed and opened it back up, but yeah, I almost dumped all their luggage out of the back of the car. And I'm like, yeah. So I'm like, for everybody's first ride. And so we got them loaded up. And then, like I said, going from there, and just, started getting more and more rides. Like I said, I don't know, there was one, they had this big golf tournament out here in Phoenix, Waste Management Open. And that was usually, you know, a really big event for Lyft and Uber. So I was out driving that. And I got a prompt to go pick somebody up at one of the drop-off points. Well, it took me like, with the traffic and everything, it took me like 30 minutes just to get to the pickup area. When I get there, I get the notification, hey, I'm here. Where are you? And well, I get a reply back. I'm already home. I don't need a ride. And I'm like, oh, why the hell didn't you cancel the ride?
Right.
He's like, well, I didn't feel like it. She asked.
Wow. That's nice.
Yeah, so the attendant there, he's yelling at me, says, hey, you need to get out of here, and you're blocking traffic. At least there's about six drunk guys, and the guy's like, hey, are you getting rides? And I'm like, yeah, where do you need to go? And they said, this hotel down the street. And he says, well, we don't have the app. Can you just take cash? And I'm like, yeah, hey, cash is seen. I don't give a shit. You know, whatever you want to do. So I call all these six drunk guys in the car. Two guys getting the very back without even putting the seats up. They just jump in the cargo area and get to the hotel, and they're laughing and hollering, yucking it up. And we get to the hotel, we get the guys unloaded, and he goes, seemed like he was the main ringleader. It's like, all right, guys, off it up. And they started pulling cash out and everything else. And he goes, here you go. Thanks for the ride. And I looked at the cat, and it was almost $160. And I'm like, my night's over with.
Right.
How about it?
And I had to go pee really bad. So I locked the car. I run inside this hotel that had a convention center. And I'm in the head, and in walks these three guys dressed up in, like, looks like mascot costumes.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, what in the hell is this? So I go outside and I look in the lobby, and they were having Arizona's furry festival. And I'm, what the hell is a furry? Then all of a sudden, this group of all these kids walk by dressed up with animals.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, this is a new kind of weird. So I had my daughter, and this happened just a couple of months ago. They had the convention again, and my daughter's like, can we dress up and go? And I'm like, oh, hell no. Because some of the people I saw walking around there are like, I'm like, you're 11 years old. You and your friends aren't going anywhere near that place. It's like, I just, like, okay. So I'll be, we'll do whatever you want to do.
Right.
But, yeah, and after that, like I said, you know, if you want to go down and get some of the bullet points, but
yeah,
that was the golf tournament. And then there's one Saturday morning I was driving, and I get a pick up down in downtown Mesa.
Uh-huh.
And I go pick up these four dudes, and I don't think the skinniest one probably weighed 325.
Wow.
And they all get in the car, and it's like this strong smell of pot is coming off these guys. I'm like, I'm sitting there getting ready to roll my window down so I don't get a contact high. That's how strong it was.
Right.
Well, I picked them. It was a quick trip. I mean, it was like 3 miles to McDonald's.
Uh-huh.
And drop them off. And I'm sitting here, and like, I can't pick anybody up because the car now reeked of pot smoke, almost like I just sit there and fired one up. And I go back home. So I was only a couple miles from home. And my wife's like, what are you doing next door? And I said, come here. She stuck her head in the car and says, oh my God, dude, you've been smoking in here? And I don't smoke. So I get the Febreze out, Febreze the car down, wipe everything down.
Uh-huh.
And I'll drive around with the windows down, air it out a little bit. And turn the app back on, and I get another pickup. So I go and pick up this little old lady. Looks like she's ready to go to church. And she gets in the back seat, and she's looking around. And she's got, you kind of see her nostrils flare. And like, oh, man, this lady thinks I've been smoking pot in here.
Right.
And I'd say, ma'am, please excuse the smell. It's from the previous ride. And she just didn't even respond. It's just like it seemed like she was afraid to be in the car. And I'm like, okay, took her, dropped her off. And then I'm like, no, I'm going to just have to go home, let this thing air out. Cause it took about 3 days for the smell to, you know, completely dissipate. That's how strong it was.
Wow. That is crazy, dude. What the heck? How much were that's nuts. I mean, it's like, how much were you guys smoking? You know, it's like, wow. How do you deal with that kind of stuff? I mean, just like in your own head, like how do you, when you have someone like that get in your car and you know, you can smell it, you know, it's there. Like how do you deal with that? You know,
I just kind of, when they got in, I'm like, look, smelled from everything in about a couple of minutes in the run. I'm like, hey, you guys got the munchies, don't you?
I bet they did.
And that's exactly why they were going to McDonald's.
Wow. That is just crazy. That is, you know, I don't know. God bless those, you know, people who do, you know, Uber and that kind of stuff. Cause I look at that stuff and I'm like, I just don't know how you're that patient to deal with it. I mean, thank you. Thankfully there's people that are willing to do it. But in my own head, I'm like, wow, I don't know. I don't know if I could do that, you know?
Oh, that's like my buddy Mark, when he was driving, he was doing the drunk hours. And he told me about the walks of shame you pick up. And, yeah, you know, and I'm like, I just don't want to deal with that kind of crap.
Right.
But later on, there was a couple days that I was really busy. I just keep going. Uh-huh. And it would run into not quite the late hours, but the early hours.
Okay.
And, I was over in Tempe. I forget, there was something going on. It was some game or something. And I get a pickup and it's this little hole in the wall dive bar. And I pick up three guys and a chick. And they get in the car and, two of the guys and the gal, I'd say they were, you know, they were buzzed, but they weren't drunk.
Okay.
But the third guy, man, he was plastered. And I'm like, okay. And it was going to be a long ride. I mean, it was going to be like a 30-minute ride to where I was dropping them off at. Well, so as we're going along, found out that they're working at this big company that's building, Intel. They're building a big manufacturing facility over here.
Okay.
And they were subcontractors. Well, the guy there is pretty well plastered. He's like, you know, hey, man, you want some moonshine? And, you know, I got real moonshine. And I guess they were back in Arkansas or Kansas somewhere.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah. I said, I've had it before and I get a little mean on moonshine. So that wouldn't be a good thing. Plus, I'm driving.
Right.
And so we, on the line, you know, driver joking and, you know, cutting up and, you know, I get them laughing and whatever. And we get to the stop and the silver guy or the buzz guy who's sitting in the front seat, he looks over at me and goes, dude, turn off your app and go home. And he's like, why? He says, that guy likes you. He thinks you're funny. And he's going to call you back for another ride just to hang out. And I'm like, oh, he's like, this is bling. He says, he's talking to me. He's got the pot. He's got the moonshine. He's got everything else. And he's ready to party. And I'm like, I think I'm going to head on home.
Yeah, about and it.
I got home and I was checking my tips. Uh-huh. And they had tipped me $50 on the app. And then I was like, holy crap. Wow. I guess they didn't like me.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of nice, you know. It's a good like, you know, but at the same
time. Kind of a double-edged sword.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, it really is. Holy cow.
Take the money and run.
Later that year, they had a big rave out at one of the Indian casinos here in Phoenix. And it's mid-city, I want to say. And I'd gotten a pickup from one of the hotels and was close to it. And I get there and, like I said, it was two dudes and two girls. And one of the girls was dressed up like, you know, the sexy nurse outfit.
Yeah.
And to say her skirt was short would be an understatement. It was almost like it was a belt.
Nice. And, wow.
And she chose to sit in the middle backseat, right in my rear view mirror. And, she wasn't afraid to show off what she had. And every time I looked up in the rearview mirror, the legitimate look back, it's like she was waiting for me to look at the rearview mirror and she would kind of give a little spread.
Wow.
Like I said, some of these are going to be R-rated, like I said in the email.
It's all right. I mean, you're doing a good job of keeping it, you know, tamped down. That's fine.
PG.
Yeah. You know, PG-13, you know, but that's okay. Yeah. You know, that is crazy. You know, again, it's one of those things where you look at it, and, you know, and I'm like, wow, thank God it's somebody else and not me. You know, I know it sounds mean, and I don't mean it that way. But wow, right. I mean, dealing with something like that is just, it's got to be, because especially, you know, how do you say it, in a litigious society that we live in, you know.
Distracted driving?
Well, yeah, you could say that. You know, and at the same time, it's like, you know, you don't want to get yourself in trouble with anybody, you know what I mean? And continue, Alan, before I say anything else, go ahead.
Okay, so for this ride, it said it was going to take 10 minutes to get to the drop-off area at where they're having the raid.
Uh-huh.
It took us almost an hour because of the traffic going into the area. So the whole time I'm talking to the riders and the guy sitting up front, I hurt my back earlier that year. And he's like, well, I got just the stuff for you. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He says, he's a pop distributor. And he said, I've got some gummies that'll, you know, take care of your back. And I'm like, no, you know, you still drug tested at work. And I said, it was still optional, you know, here in Arizona. It hadn't quite been passed yet, I don't think.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm like, nah, never mind. That's all good. And so I get there, get them dropped off. And like I said, I'd had the girl sitting behind me. Cutting up pretty good. And they're like, well, come with us. Come on. You'll have fun. It's a good party. And I'm like, no, I need to get home. You know, it's just, I said, this is my kind of thing. It's something I'm not into. And I'm thinking, well, hell, I'm going to turn this app off until I get a ways away from this place.
Right.
Because it was New Year. And I said, well, I can go get back closer to home and maybe get some more rides around that area. So, I'm 2-3 miles from home and I get a ride and it's close to where I live. So I'm like, oh, okay. Maybe it's a couple going out to a party or this and that.
Right.
So I pull to the house and a bunch of kids roll out and they're all wearing Rick and Morty shirts and with the, all the bracelets and the necklaces and everything else. And I'm like, okay, guys. I said, I know where we're going now. I said, all of you turn around. Cause I can tell they've been pre-gaming. And I says, go to the bachelor. And the one guy that did got right goes, well, why? I said, this only take 25 minutes to get there. And I said, I just got back from there. My last ride took me nearly an hour to drop him off. And we were 3 to 5 miles away. I'm like, oh, okay. So a couple of guys, they run back in the house, and we get them all loaded up and we get right to about the same point that I was earlier, and there's the traffic. So about 20-30 minutes into that, there's this one kid in the very back. He's like, man, I got to pee bad. And we're creeping. I mean, I'm barely riding the brake, not even touching the accelerator, just creeping along. I mean, we're doing less than 3 miles an hour.
Right.
I'm like, well, there's some mesquite trees over there. Jump out and go take a piss behind them. He's like, you think we got time? I was, you gonna sit here? Can you make it? So he jumps out and gets back. Well, the three girls in the back seat behind me, they're like, oh, we got to pee now. And I'm like, oh,
here we go. Yeah.
I told y'all. And well, the one girl sitting behind me, like I said, I was just cutting off and here go, getting all the laugh and everything.
Uh huh.
And one girl says, you got to quit making me laugh. She says, I'm getting ready to pee myself. So I said, well, I wouldn't do that because that's a $300 cleanup fee.
Right.
And that busts them out even more. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to have three times as cleanup fees now. And then they started crying. They go, no, you got to quit. We're dealing with pee ourselves. And I just couldn't stop. And the same thing, we got up to the drop-off area and they had a couple of porta-johns. And I mean, they were running to them. I'm like, I could have pulled up there. So, but the girl sitting behind me, she's like, "You're so fine," and everything. And she's reaching over, rubbing my shoulders, and she says, "You should come in with us. I said, have a good time." And I said, "I had the same proposal earlier." And I said, "This just isn't my thing."
Uh-huh.
I said, "I'm going to go home." And she's like, "Oh, come on, come on." I'm like, "No, no, I'm going to go home," because it was right around 10:30 at night.
Right.
At the time. And I'm looking, I said, "Man, I've got a 45-minute drive home, you know."
Wow.
And so I turned everything off and came home. And my wife said, "Man, that was an awful late ride." And I'm like, I told her, I said, two rides took me close to almost 2.5-3 hours.
Wow. And
the second one was pretty decent. The first one was, it was a short one. I kind of got screwed on that. I mean, I think it was like a $10 ride. And like, so the second one, it was probably a $30 ride, and they tipped pretty good too. I mean, it was like, they gave me like a $10 tip. So
yeah,
it was,
yeah.
But, so there's, that was 2018 the Rave, then in St. Patty Day. This is the one that gets R rated.
Okay.
It was St. Patty's Day, and I was driving the early crowd. And in downtown Phoenix, they hold a big St. Patty's Day festival. And I really didn't like driving down downtown Phoenix, because the streets are, you'll have one street that's a one-way street, and the street next to it's a one-way street. And
okay. Then
if you get turned around wrong, you got to do a little U-turns and everything just to get out of the place. Well, I did a pickup. And I pull up, and I'm like, "What in the hell are these two wearing?" I'm pretty sure it was a mother and a daughter.
Uh huh.
And the mom, she was wearing a macrame lace dress.
Okay.
That was primarily see through, except for in the certain spots.
Well, if it's macrame, it's going to be pretty see-through. Holy.
Yeah. But it, and the younger gal was wearing these baggy pants,
uh-huh,
and a black fishnet top with green splatter pasties over her nipples.
Wow.
And I'm looking and I'm like going, Do people go outside wearing this stuff?
Yeah, it's like, that's crazy, isn't it?
In the morning, they looked at themselves and said, "I'm ready to go."
Yeah, and so I get over to the festival and go to drop them off. Well, the mom was sitting behind me, and the daughter, or the younger gal, was sitting the passenger side, and I don't know what the macrame lady was thinking. Uh-huh. She did a guy now on my side, but uh-huh, instead she decides to slide across the seat to get out on the passenger side.
Yeah.
And I just had to look down. And when she came to what would be your transmission hump.
Yeah.
She threw that right leg up high enough that, we got a show of everything.
So we're watching like Basic Instinct here, and it's a Sharon Stone moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's an old reference. So.
Oldie but a goodie.
Yeah, I guess.
The funny thing was, she goes, when she was doing things, "There's your tip."
Wow. Like,
okay. I was just now saw a shot out of a 1970s Hustler magazine.
But yeah, how about it?
Waiting for the porn music.
Yeah.
Bow wow, chicky bow wow.
Oh, my word. It's amazing what some people will do, how they dress, what they do, you know, where they're going. It's like, and apparently, I mean, she's not like a young girl, you know, I mean, when I, you know, I mean, like a 20 something, she's a, you know, somebody's mom.
If I was the ager, it would probably, she was.
Well, you could have counted the 30s, rings.
early 40s, maybe.
Wow. You kind of think maybe those days are over. You know, that you're trying
once a year, apparently.
Yeah, I guess. You know,
I mean, yeah. So right after I dropped them off, I get a pickup at the Hilton in downtown Phoenix. And it's these two huge Mexican guys. I mean, they're 6'3", 6'5". I mean, big guys. And this little petite Mexican girl.
Uh-huh.
And she's wearing a trench coat. And I'm like, it's March here. And I, that day was pretty warm. I'm going to say it was mid-80s probably.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, man, it's a little warm. You wearing a trench coat. And so I'm talking to the guys and telling them about the last ride I just had. And the girl kind of looks over and goes, she was wearing what? And like told her, you know, the black fishnet top and the pasties. She goes, oh, okay, I'll probably be okay then. And I'm like, not really getting her meaning.
Right.
And well, I drop them off at the festival and she goes, well, let me show you. And she gets out and she opens up the trench coat. She's in a full body fishnet outfit with a bright green thong, and she's got shamrock pasties on her nipples. And wow. Oh my God.
Wow. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, Aaron, go wrong.
Yeah.
And holy moly.
Maybe I will stop and then get out and go check this one out. There's going to be a lot of this walking around.
Oh my word.
Just be worth the day for an hour or two.
Wow.
There's not much you can say to that.
No, it speaks for itself, doesn't it?
Very much so.
Oh.
Wait. Can you give me a second? My sinus has been killing me the last couple of weeks. Sure. I need to kind of blow my nose here.
Yep, go ahead. Whatever you need to do. Give me a second.
Oh, no. Hey. Yeah, the weather has been crazy out here the last couple of weeks. It's hot, it's cold, and it's hot. And we had a bunch of rain, and everything's trying to, the weeds are blooming, and my hay fever has just been killing me.
Oh, I bet.
That's what we call over here in Pennsylvania, typical weather.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know, it's 30 today and 60 on Tuesday.
Exactly. It's, you know. We're at that time of year where now we're starting to get to that warmer time. We're still in February, but you know, looking at the calendar, looking ahead as far as what the weather looks like. And we're like in the 40s, 50s and 60s this, you know, next couple of weeks. So it's kind of early for that kind of weather, but hey, I'll take it. You know, it's not snow. So.
Yeah. It's like last weekend we went out to the Arizona Renaissance Festival with my daughter and some of her friends. And it was like 84 degrees. And I got a message from a friend of mine that lives in New York. And she just got me 6 inches of snow.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, no, I'll take 84 right now.
Oh, my word. Yeah. It's definitely worth it. I'd move out there in a heartbeat. Because I'm looking for someplace drier and someplace warmer. I don't know what winters are like where you're at, but they don't sound too bad.
Well, I put it this way, from about October to end of April, there's parts of this area that they triple in population because we get a lot of the snowbirds coming in there. And driving with them, oh my God, it's either running you over or you're running them over. You'll get them going to, you know, the Monday morning breakfast at 5 o'clock when I got to go to work because they're used to being up 2 hours earlier. And they'll get in the left-hand lane and it's 65 on the freeway, but everybody around here runs about 80, 85.
Right.
And they're doing 50. And it's like, man, get out of the way. It's just,
they have all day
before I'm already at work. I don't care.
Right. In their mind, they have all day to get there.
Of course. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. But let me get this. Oh, the think this is probably about the last rated R one.
Okay.
I picked up this guy and gal, and it was going to be a fairly long ride. And I'm like, okay. And as soon as I get in the car and I look in the rearview mirror and I see the guy's eyes, he has no iris. His iris is completely white. I'm like, oh man, this dude just microdosed or took a big hit of something. And the girl's sitting in the passenger side and she's all giggly and, you know, kind of swaying around and like, oh, she's stoned off her ass too. And I'm like, okay, there's going to be another one of these. And this is like 11 o'clock Sunday morning. And I'm like, all right, so I get the details and I'm not even out of their neighborhood. And the girl scoots over and she puts her head in his lap and I hear something clicking and I'm like, I look up. I'm like, no, you ain't doing that in my backseat.
Right.
And the dude is, he's just like a statue. He's just sitting there looking. Well, she kind of huffs and like, no fun. And my, I don't care. You're not doing that in my car.
I don't blame you, dude. You know,
the splooge.
No fluids. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. Nope. Wow.
I don't know what she was on. It was like a three-person conversation with herself.
Oh, wow.
We were about halfway through the ride. I thought I was going to pull over and just put him out. Because she was like, I don't know why you're texting other women. Are you cheating on me? And the guy's just sitting there. And she goes, you know, why do you go through my phone and I can't go through yours? And it's this whole prolonged thing about that she's wanting to break up with me now. And I'm like, whoa, okay. I'm looking down like I got 10 more minutes. Well, we're almost to the drop off. And she's like, no. Don't drop us off in front of the house. Drop us off over here. And she pointed off to the side of it. I'm like, okay. So I go over, drop them off. I turn around and I'm sitting there doing my logging everything off, doing the customer review, all that stuff. And I'm about 50 yards away from him. And I look in my rearview mirror and she's got his pants down to his knees. And you can figure what was going on from there.
Yeah. Holy cow.
And I'm like, oh my God. You're going to do that right in the middle of the street. But I think these people were, there were some kind of heavy meds or something, because I mean, the guy never said a word the whole trip. He just sat there and stared forward the whole time.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay, guys. I'm like, do what you got to do, I guess.
Guy's probably thinking just another day in a Uber car.
I guess. or not.
Right.
You know? Wow. It is amazing, you know, when you see these things and you're just, you know, you're taken aback because it's like, that's not normal. You know, that's not normal. You know, I don't think it is. Maybe that's not normal out there in Arizona, is it?
And not that I know of. And these were, I won't say kids, I must probably say mid-20s possibly.
Wow. Yeah.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, you know. I guess she was wanting it that much. So, you know, and the guy was just standing there. I'm like, look.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
Okay. Well, let's see. The wrong Christine. I tried to work the airports a lot. Here, it seems to be a better rides, if you would say, you know, you're not dealing with, like I've been telling you, the drunks and the drug addled. And I get a pickup at Sky Harbor. And the contact name was Christine. And it showed the pickup area at the airport. So I pull in there and there's this lady sitting there with an elderly lady. And she holds your phone up. And so I pull up to her and I roll the window down. She goes, I says, Christine? She goes, yes. Like, okay, I'm here for your ride. So I get out, I load the luggage up, and get back on to, out to the freeway, and she's looking at her phone, and I'm like, is everything okay? She goes, yeah, I think so. I'm like, okay. Well, my phone rings, and it's Christine calling me. And I'm like, hello? And she's like, where the hell are you at? And I'm like, Jesus, because it shows, I guess, because in the app you can see where your car is going or your ride is going.
Uh-huh.
Because you're driving away from the airport. I'm like, I picked up Christine. She goes, no, I'm Christine. And I look over the lady, she goes, yeah, I'm Christine. I'm like, well, which Christine do I have? So I said, hold on a second, let me pull over. And so I get off the freeway, and this lady is chewing my ass. Well, I'm not going to pay for this ride. I'm like, can you give me a second, man?
Uh-huh.
I'm canceling the ride, and you won't be charged for it. Well, that's unacceptable. You're not picking it. I'm like, hey, I picked up Christine.
Right.
I said, if it's the right one or not, I don't know.
I mean, what's the likelihood that they're both named Christine? You know, wow.
And so the lady I have in the car with me, she feels, let me check my phone. Yes. And she says, well, I don't know if I did it wrong or not. And I said, let me see. And she didn't even get a ride. She was just in the pickup area. And I don't know why she thought I was there just to pick her up, you know, but I picked up the wrong Christine.
Whoops. Yeah, sure. Right now I can be Christine.
Yeah.
Hey, getting right out of here. Like,
well, yeah.
Well, what do you want to do for now? I said, well, if you want, I'll take you to where you need to go. Give me the address. So I put it in my phone to get you there. And I said, if you want, pay me cash, whatever you think the ride was worth. And she goes, okay, that sounds fair. I'm like, all right. So it was some Hilton way up in Scottsdale. And it was a decent ride. And I get up there and drop her off, get the luggage unloaded. And she hands me a 50. I'm like, man, that's a little much. Are you sure? Because that's the smallest I've got in my wallet. I'm like, okay, it is good.
Yeah.
It'll work. It's good because I don't make change.
Yeah. And, you know, she's, oh, you're such a nice young man and this and that. And the elder lady's like, yeah, you drove so smooth and everything else. And I said, well, there's a reason for that. I said, my mother-in-law has severe motion sickness. And I said, when she's in the car, she can't sit in the back seat. She always has to sit up in the front seat. And I said, I had to figure out how to drive very smoothly with her so she doesn't get car sick. Because when she does, that turns into a migraine. And I'm like, you know, it's runs the day for everybody pretty much. And
right.
So she was very thankful, you know, the smooth driving and everything. I'm like, okay, well, thank you. And thanks for the cash. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
But there was a few more that I thought of, but I can't remember now what they were.
It's okay.
And, but like I said, there was some other stuff from, I don't know if it'd be anything really for the podcast or not, but it was some, growing up and driving.
Yeah.
There was quite a few cow encounters on the road, I can say.
Okay.
When I was 4 years old, I think I told you in the last podcast that I grew up triple track racing.
Right.
My granddad did, my dad did, and later on me and my sisters both drove. When I was 4 years old and we were at my dad's shop and they had been working on the race car, and oh God, it was late. I think I'm going up for what they were telling. It was like 12:30 at night, and we're headed back home, and I was standing up in the front seat of the truck, and I don't know how fast my dad was going, but he wound up hitting four black cows that were standing in the middle of the road.
Wow.
He hit every one of them. And
that was he aiming for him?
It's bowling. He picked up the spare.
Wow. from the way he told the story, he hit one and it spun the truck or it knocked the truck over the other lane. Well, there's one standing in that lane. When he hit that one, it knocked him back over in the other lane. Wow. That kind of a pinball effect.
Yeah. Is where right. kind of, holy cow. Holy cow.
Yeah.
Oh, my word. That's got to be scary at the same time. It's one of those things you kind of look at, you're like, well, that's got to be scary, especially for a little kid standing there and, you know, watching this happen.
And like I said, I found myself in the floorboard. And my dad said, the only thing he said, I was madder that I spilt my soda and then knocking one of my front teeth out.
That figures. Sounds like a four-year-old, you know?
And he said, I stood up and said, damn it, Dad, you knocked out my damn teeth or tooth.
You can just see a little kid doing that, dude. That's funny, dude. That is really funny.
Tooth fairy coming tonight.
Yeah, you got that right. Wow.
But yeah. And then it was 89. No, it was 90. Because that's the first year I drove. And we were coming back from the track.
Uh-huh.
And part of the way, like I said, the running man story, I told you that's the same res that this happened on.
Okay.
We're coming down, there's this one long hill. It's like a 6 mile, 5, 6, 8% grade. Not super steep, but it's a nice long descent. And I'd won my first race that night. And even though I was super hyped up, I was wore out. And I'd fallen asleep. And we're coming down this grade. And all of a sudden, my head slams up against the passenger window. And all of a sudden, I'm back over the other way and then back into the passenger window. Well, this time, my dad threaded through the cows. And mind you, we're pulling a car with the race car on the trailer.
Right.
A car trailer with the car on it. And he made it through 5 or 6 cows. And like I said, right there standing in the middle of the road again. After that, I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'm awake for the rest of the ride home.
Yes, sir. Heart starts to pound. You start to sweat a little bit. It's like, okay, we're good. Yeah, that's got to be, again, I mean, how'd your dad freaking make it through all those cows? And where are you living that these cows are winding up in the middle of the road? You know, like, are you, apparently you're in farm country, but where?
Yeah, it's the San Carlos Indian Reservation.
Okay.
And it's not considered open range.
Uh-huh.
It is fenced, but like I said, somebody go off and leave the fence open and the cows get out.
Gotcha.
And the same thing happened when I was 4.
Uh-huh.
There was somebody left a gate open.
Right.
And they tried to sue my dad for hitting, because there was some kind of high-end English bred cattle.
Wow.
And my dad's like, no, they were in the middle of the drive or the road.
Yeah. There's nothing you can do about that. You know,
yeah.
One time I was coming home from Tony's house when he and I were, when I was recording down with him when he lived in, down in Royersford, and, I was, Phoenixville, Royersford, whatever it is, you know, whatever it was down there, that's where
potato,
it was at.
Potato.
Yeah. I was coming home it was back roads coming home. I've never seen a cow in the middle of the road that night. That Sunday night, in the dark, in the rain, there's a cow standing, a big golden looking cow. Like, I don't know what color, like, a blonde colored cow. And this thing was enormous and it was standing in the road. And, you know, you're coming down the hill and all of a sudden your headlights hit it and you're like, what the freaking, what the heck? Probably was not the choice words I was using at the time, but holy, it scared
holy
me.
Cow.
Yeah, it scared me. So I can imagine what it's like to see 5 or 6 of these things standing in the road. Because they're not small,
right?
You know.
Oh,
yep.
They got some weight to them, man. You hit them, they're going to do some damage. You know, wow.
Yeah, it's like the last one. I was out at my buddy's house, and his mom and dad wanted some ice cream. So, like, all right, well, I got to go home anyway. And so Josh jumps in their Land Rover, and he was never what you could call a safe driver. He was
okay.
To just, he, I hated riding with him because the whole time you're either white knuckling the armrest or you're stomping your foot to the brake that's not there on the passenger side.
Gotcha.
And he takes off in front of me and I'm cruising behind him and we're probably doing 45, 50 on the road. All of a sudden, I see his taillights just falling from side to side and kind of boom, boom, boom. And then I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Right.
Well, as I'm coming up on him, my headlights, there's this big black mass in my lane. And I'm like, what the hell? And then I just realized it's a cow laying down in the road.
Wow.
Watch, we're over in the other lane. There's a cat laying in that lane and just laying there. And I'm like, and then I can look up and with his brake lights on, I see steam coming from the front of the Land Rover.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, oh shit, Josh has hit two cows. So I get a stop behind him.
Uh-huh.
And there's steam. You hear the engine popping and, you know, everything.
Yeah.
The hood was mashed up into the windshield.
Wow.
The core support was crushed around the front of the engine.
Uh-huh.
And like I said, he hit the first one, and that's when I saw him swerve, was when he hit it, and it pushed him over to the side. And the same thing like my dad, that's where the captain was right behind the mall.
Right.
And he hit it dead. And I opened the door. I barely got the door open because it crushed everything back so far that it had crushed the A-filler into the door, you know, and sticking that into the B-filler. Well, I got it pulled open. And he's just sitting there with his eyes wide open, glazed, and he's got blood, I mean, just running down his face from where he hit the steering wheel.
Wow.
And like I said, tearing my shirt off, I wrap his head up. Fortunately, a high school friend, this happened right in front of his house. So I run over there and told him, I said, hey, call the cops. Josh, just hit some cows in the road. We need an ambulance out here. And he's like, oh, shit, really? I'm like, yeah. He goes, well, the only cows that are out here are ours, and they're in our pen. I said, they're in the middle of the road right now, dude. And sure enough, they'd gone out there, and they'd gotten out, and they said, one of my high school buddies, we hit his cow, or Josh hit his cows. And
wow. Like,
and I said, it totaled that Land Rover.
Uh-huh.
And his mom and dad, first, they really love Land Rover, so they had bought another one. So for a welding project in high school, me and him built this big ass cattle cage to put on the front of that Land Rover.
Never saw another one after you installed it.
Exactly,
right?
That's usually the way it goes.
Nope, never did.
Of course, story of our lives, you know. Oh,
meanwhile, at your buddy's farm, there he's still eating the same burger.
Oh, it was pretty well tenderized, I can tell you that.
Yes, sir. You got that right.
I mean, with the amount of damage to the front of that Land Rover, I mean, I'm surprised it didn't kill him, to tell you the truth.
Wow.
And
thank God it didn't. Yeah. Oh, my word.
Well, it wasn't so much hitting the cow. It was the sudden decrease of speed.
True.
The deacceleration factor.
Yeah. Holy cow. Yeah,
that deceleration is acceleration into the steering wheel.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Well, thankfully, he wasn't hurt, you know, horribly bad, you know, getting knocked around and, you know, that's bad enough. But thankfully, he wasn't really hurt or worse.
Right.
Oof.
No, I think it might have strained one of his wrists. And like I said, he just had the gash on the head.
Yeah. Because I tell you what, it is one of the, When you see that come across your computer screen in your tractor, when you get a message from, you know, like, you know, your terminal or your company or whatever, and it says, you know, whatever road, you know, be careful, there's the cow spotted on the road, and you kind of chuckle to yourself. But when you actually see one on the road and you're like, it just kind of happens to be there, and you look and you're like, yeah, if I had to hit that with my car or like the Land Rover and, you know, do some damage, you know, you're lucky if you're going to walk away. Cause I mean, that's going to do some heavy, heavy stuff. That's going to freaking do some damage. Wow.
Well, and now I was just thinking about it. I don't know. I told the truck I had in high school was a 74 Datsun that me and my dad had chopped the top 4 inches and lowered it. And this was like pre-mini truck era kind of thing.
Okay.
And if I'd hit it, I wouldn't be talking to you right now.
Wow.
Because the you know, the height of the Land Rover, it wasn't jacked up, but it was, you know, it was quite a bit higher.
Sure.
Like I said, I think if I hit it, it would have came in,
yeah,
on top of me in the truck.
Yeah, falling right at you. Yeah. Holy cow. Oh my word. You imagine that. Oof.
Yeah. No. I just thought of that and I'm like, I'm thinking about that. And I'm like,
wow.
Yeah. If it didn't, it damn sure would have probably killed me if I'd hit it.
Oh my word. Yeah. That's a heck of a thought, isn't it? Wow.
Numbers, it wasn't up yet.
I know exactly. Thank God it wasn't. You know, and let that be your PSA for the day. Watch out for cows on the road because you never know.
Look at down in Philly. What was it? 2 nights ago, there was a horse out on the interstate.
Really?
Yeah, they shut down 95 because of it.
I had no idea.
Yeah. The message came across. Yeah, to go to Cherry Hill, you had to go across the Ben Franklin Bridge.
Yeah. Oh, that's what that was about.
That's because the horse is running up 95.
Get the heck out.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. They had film of it. I'm like,
yeah. Well,
it's going green.
It happens.
It's going green up the interstate.
I guess so. Wow.
Yeah. Well, it was 10 or 15 years ago. Out in West Phoenix, they'd had a cattle hauler in an accident.
Right.
And it flipped it over on its side, if I'm remembering correctly. And they had to call in some cowboys to round up the loose cattle that were running up on the I-10.
Right.
Up there, yeah.
West Phoenix.
Yeah.
That's a heck of an accident. You know, and when you got ground beef running around before it's ground, you know, it's like, yes, sir. That's interesting, though.
Between that and, you know, if some of the cows did die inside the trailer,
I would imagine some did. Yeah. You know,
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's happened down in Harrisburg where they had to round them up.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Down there below, right after the river and that stretch there, you know.
Yeah.
They dumped it over in the middle there and everything's, you know. It's like
running around.
Like a circus.
Yep. That's the stuff you see on the roads. That's the stuff that happens from time to time, you know. It ain't all the time, but it does happen from time to time.
It's just not your Amazon box.
It's not. No, it is not. No, sir.
So you're not doing Uber anymore? You gave that up then?
I'm thinking about possibly going back and starting back up now.
Uh-huh.
They've put in a couple of big Amazon DCs right here close to my area.
Uh-huh.
And I thought about possibly doing that on the weekends.
Gotcha.
Just on what I was driving.
Uh-huh.
You know, I called that my beer, bullets, and guns fun.
I heard that. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
You know, and then plus that paid, we use that for vacation money as well. And like I said, it paid for, you know, 3 or 4 trips to Disneyland. Like I said, just for the amount of time doing it, you know, it wasn't bad money.
Right.
Grateful with you. And like I said, then plus you get those little side ones where, you know, you get $160 here, you know, just driving somebody and,
Does it pay? I'm just curious. Like, I don't know how, do they pay by the hour? They pay by the ride or how the distance the ride is going or, you know, how does that work? Is that what it is, by the ride?
Yeah, it's by the ride. Like I said, they've got some kind of calculator in there. Uh-huh. Like from my house to, let's say, if I got a ride from here to Sky Harbor Airport, that's about a 30-minute ride.
Okay.
So 35 miles. That was usually running right around anywhere from $30 to $40.
Okay.
And what was nice doing that, if I got a drop off at the airport, usually by the time I dropped them off, I would have to pick up at the airport.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, you're getting paid to and from. So that's a plus. Yeah, and heck yeah.
Like, there was one, I picked up a guy at the airport and drove him out to Verado. And that's like 60 miles from the airport. And like I said, it was a good ride. And I'm like, crap, now I got to get something back into town. Well, a block away from his drop off, I had a pickup and there was a lady going to the airport. I'm like, shit, you can't get any luckier than that.
Right.
And like I said, and once I dropped her off, if there was days that I would do nothing but airport runs, it seemed like.
Oh, no kidding.
But like I said, some of the other stuff I was talking about, that's, I got a little more adventurous and stayed out a little bit longer. And
right.
Some of it paid off, some of it didn't, but
yeah,
here's how it goes.
Yeah. I guess it's like anything, some days you're the bug and some days you're the windshield, I guess, I guess that's what the old saying says. So yep.
That's for sure.
But, this was really interesting, Alan. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing I had no idea that you did Uber and that kind of stuff. I should have known that back when we did this the first time and would have had this conversation. I think this is an interesting subject because it's not something that gets covered as much as what you would think it would. At least I haven't heard it other than what we've done on our show. From time to time you get a chance to talk to somebody who has done Uber or Lyft or something like that. It's an interesting thing. It's kind of like a peek into a different world, So I really appreciate it. We really appreciate you coming on.
Just for some, little side gig, little extra money here and there.
Yeah. And it comes up with some stories too, Yeah. you get a little bit of money and you get some stories on top, It's like, what the heck? That's free. It's awesome.
There's a few more, I can't remember. Like I said, that's been going on 4 years since I drove.
Right.
And like I said, they keep hitting me up on the email, say, hey, drive and get this bonus, drive and get that bonus. And, it was like I was doing Lyft at the same time.
Oh, wow.
So I was doing both of the apps.
No kidding. Was one more lucrative than the other? Is the one that pays, are basically the same, or is one pay better than the other one does? Or, I'm not trying to pit competition here. I was just curious.
I think Lyft paid a little bit better.
Uh-huh.
Because they're just before I quit driving, they had a destination payment. So if I was, say, I got a ride and it was going to take me 15 minutes to get to that pickup,
right?
I got paid for that time until I got to the pickup.
Huh.
And I don't know if they're still doing that or not. Like I said, they're still emailing me about driving and. Like I said, I just got a new car and I'm thinking about maybe doing that on the weekends. Like I said earlier.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That is really pretty cool, man. Well, we really appreciate you coming on, Alan, and talking with us. And as Tony used to say, I like to throw his line out there every now and then. Tony used to say, hey, thanks for coming on and chopping it up with us. Thank you so much for coming on and having doing a show with us and talking with us and sharing your experiences. I really do find it fascinating. I think it's an interesting thing. It's an interesting subject. So thank you so much.
Yeah, no, thank you. And the first time we talked, I think I included it in the email and I said, we just ran out of time, I think.
I think it's what it was. Yeah, I think you're right.
This time you got it.
Yeah.
This time you covered it.
Yeah, exactly. If in time you remember the other stories and you want to come back on, you're always more than welcome to come back on, Alan. It's been great having you on and chit chatting with you, just having a fun conversation here. I really appreciate it.
Good talking back to you guys. Like I said, getting my daughter running around this morning, and so I got to be back home before noon. She's like, "Why?" She's like, "I'm going to be on a podcast." She's like, "What? You're going to be on a podcast?"
That's awesome.
And I was like, "Yeah, I've been on there before." She was, "Didn't know you did podcasts." Well, I've done several of them, baby girl.
There you go, man. Amen, brother. That's what I like. Spreading the word. That's it. I'll shoot you a text when I know it's going up or whatever. I'll let you know.
Okay. Yeah. Appreciate that.
Sure thing. Mm-hmm. Well, Shipper, I hope that everybody enjoyed the show. And if they enjoyed the show, what can they do?
They can share the show.
Share the show. Share it with everybody.
That's how it grows.
That is how it grows. And, you know, till next time, keep the hammer down.
In the hammer lane.
Good night. Good night.
You'll never guess the places that I've been. You never guess the places that I've been. 'Cause everything is like a dream, yeah, but only in that dream that I live in. I'm never gonna let the day begin. Never gonna let the day begin. 'Cause everything is like a dream, yeah, but only in that dream that I live in. Oh, don't wake me up before you go. And I'll just make this bed my home. Oh, darling, please just let me sleep. Give me my dreams. Better from above. Nothing's ever as it seems, yeah, except in that world that I dream of. Never gonna lose the ones I love. Never gonna lose the ones I love. 'Cause everything is like a dream, yeah, but